Intervju Radija Študent.
Reš intervju. Nocoj je z nami Sara Farina, ena izmed umetnic platforme Shape, ki bo danes tudi nastopila na festivalu Sonika v sklopu 10. obletnice. Pred tem njenim nastopom si v sklopu Sonike lahko ogledate oziroma poslušate še okroglo mizo ob 7. v Sigicu. Na to ob 9. v kinu Šiška sledijo nastopi Aisha Devi, Giant Swan, Life Cutter in Bine. Od polnoči naprej pa na Metelkovi v Monoklu DJ Seti, Sara Farina in Mike Oki ter domače DJ-ke Celotar. Hi Sara, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I really like it here. The sun is shining. It's not that cold. Berlin is really cold right now. So it's nice to be here and I had some really good food as well.
What did you eat?
I ate something at this place called Abi Falafel.
Okay.
So very nice vegetables and like some hummus and yeah, it was very nice.
Sweet. And it's not, we talked a little bit before, it's mm-hmm. not your first time in Ljubljana. You were actually in this studio 3 years ago.
Yeah, I was here with two people from my collective through my speakers, Natrips and Chicks, and we were here. And yeah, it was wonderful. We had a good time here.
We're gonna return to this collective through my speakers a little bit later in the interview. But let's first talk about like the beginning of your musical career. You moved to Berlin in 2009?
Yeah, I think so. Or 8, I'm not even sure anymore.
You were about 18, 19. You come from South Germany, from
exactly.
Kempten in Allgäu
yeah,
region.
Yeah, perfect.
And what made you move to Berlin?
So, the place where I grew up, Kempten, is a very small town in Bavaria. And at the time there was not such a music scene or artist scene that I could connect with. And I think a lot of young people feel like they need to go somewhere else away from their parents to maybe find themselves or just become grown-ups basically. And a lot of people told me about Berlin, that it's a very special place, especially when you're into music. And so I waited until I was 18. So I didn't need the signature from my parents anymore. And I moved there 2 weeks after my birthday and went to a music academy. When I was 12, I learned bass guitar, and a little bit of drums. And I went there full of hope, but it was terrible, terrible music academy.
Was it classical music or jazz?
No, it was like a pop academy.
Okay.
And I did different courses and everything and workshops, but I just could not connect with the teachers there and with the class and everything. And I guess at the end of the day, I just don't work in a school-like environment where someone teaches you something. I like to be very free when I learn something and I don't want to be judged, you know? So I think that just didn't work out for me. And then I thought this would be some kind of sign from the universe that music is not for me. So I tried to do different things. I definitely also didn't want to go back to school or university or anything because I hated school. And I also didn't go out in Berlin. I was very disconnected from music, but then a very good friend of mine said that he likes my music taste and I maybe should try out DJing. Maybe that's like a nice in-between thing. And he taught me how to use the equipment, and then we played together every Sunday in a small bar in Kreuzberg, Berlin. And that from there everything started very naturally. We played there every Sunday at a bar where people would drink, like not really dance but just chill. And then people heard me play there and then offered me more and more DJ gigs.
Do you still sometimes play guitar or bass?
No, unfortunately not really, no. but I actually should. Yeah.
I saw a video or a photo, I'm not sure, from mm-hmm. your studio, and I saw a guitar in the background.
Yeah.
Anyways, so you started DJing when you moved to Berlin around 2010.
A little bit later. I think more like 2012, like really, yeah.
Do you get inspiration still from the times that you were going to music school and, you know, having to learn stuff?
No, I don't think so. No, it was just not like such a nice time. It was more like, no, I didn't feel comfortable at all there. So it's more, it's actually has to do with a friend of mine I grew up with. He showed me so much amazing music and kind of educated me in music. He was the first one who showed me music from Detroit and places like that. So I can connect more with him than like at the time when I went to the music academy. I think I did not really learn something from it that I'm still using today.
Is this your preferred way of finding out about music and finding new music, like through internet?
What I like most is through friends, just like real exchange with people. And yeah, internet is also amazing, of course. Or just if you go to YouTube and then there's a recommended video and then a recommended video after recommended video, and it goes on for hours and you find more and more music, that's also a lot of fun.
What about your family? You're like from such a... You have such mixed roots. I heard Italy, Bulgaria, Turkey, West Africa, Egypt.
Yeah.
Do you find inspiration in that? Do you find inspiration from your family or your roots?
Actually, I'm so mixed that I can't really define myself at the end of the day. But a lot of the music, or I think in general, a lot of music that we listen to and also club music has its roots in Africa, or black culture especially. And I think I would even say the same thing if I would be a white person. Maybe I just feel a little bit more closer connected, you know, because like a part of me is from there. So yeah.
And you also call your genre rainbow bass. Maybe you're tired of talking about
it. No, it's fine. I'm very happy to talk about it.
When did you come up with that? Were people bugging you about defining the genre that you play?
Yeah, I think we as people always need like boxes and definitions for everything, and that also helps definitely, but sometimes it's, I think, kind of unnecessary. And I was just, I came up with rainbow bass one day because I was thinking, okay, how can I visualize the music that I love so much? So first of all, the music that I play has a lot of bass, and it's like the essence, you know, it's like the thing you feel when you go into the club and when the bass hits. And rainbow, because I play a lot of different music styles, and to me they are like very colorful, and all the different music styles are connected to each other, I think. Even if you look at music history and everything, like it's all a fusion somehow, like jungle music, dub music, grime, dubstep, and it's like everything influenced each other. And I came up with rainbow because the music styles are connected to each other, and so are colors in a rainbow. And I think that everybody loves rainbows, hopefully. And I like that because you can't really tell what it is, so you have to start thinking like, what does this actually mean? And that's what I also like about it.
Would you say your music is political in any sense, or your music, your selections, your performances?
I think playing music as a person of color or being out there is already political without me even saying anything. And the music that I play has political roots. Like because I play a lot of music from the UK, and the UK invented so many different music styles like jungle music or dubstep, which has its roots in sound system culture. But there wouldn't be this kind of sound system culture if the UK would not have had colonies, you know? Mm-hmm. So they had colonies, and they had like the people there in the UK and slavery and everything, which is very, very dark part of the history, of course. But it's also interesting how so many cultures developed out of this. So I think it's very political at the end of the day. If you read about the music history and also if you listen to some of the lyrics, like in jungle music or dub music.
What about like when you add being a person of color, you add being a woman in an industry that is getting like more and more mixed, but used to be more part of the like male.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Like, do you think it's changed in the last 9 years since you started playing?
Yeah, I think it's changing a little bit in some certain areas. But I think the music scene is just a reflection of society at the end of the day. And there still needs to, like, we need to do a lot of work together, especially because I think the biggest problem is when it comes to those political things is that people always expect, like, for example, with racism, people want to ask black people, how can we solve this problem? Or men ask women, how can we solve sexism? It doesn't work that way because the person who is holding together the power structure, the person who is the gatekeeper and the person who is in charge, has to change something. And we need to work together somehow. And I'm happy to see that there is more dialogue happening at eye level in a more positive way, because I think it doesn't make sense to scream at each other and, like, I don't know, there's so many people who get shitstorms online because they say something. But I think we actually need more offline spaces where we can really speak about how we feel, what people don't understand, and just be more, have more empathy. I think it's really about empathy at the end of the day and understand where people are coming from and understand the structures we're living in. I hope that every person wants to live in a more peaceful world, but I think we're only going to have a more peaceful world if we are open to have a discussion at eye level.
So you also are part of, through MySpace.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a massive collective, which I was going through the website a little bit, and you always end up like a paragraph with one love or like peace or like some positive kind of statement. Can you tell our speakers a little bit more, our speakers, our listeners, a little bit more about Through My Speakers and what it is?
Yeah, so we're basically a group of friends who like similar music. Most of us also have a day job that is connected to music. Some are work for music software companies or as a sound engineer. And we just connected, like some of them, we met them at parties and just became really good friends. And then we realized, wow, we're very, we like the same music and we have the same values as people, and we should support each other more, because I think it's very valuable to have like a network. And then more and more of us started producing, and then we're like, maybe we can start our own label. And we never really had like a plan, like we want to make start a label or anything, but just same thing, it was very organic and natural how everything developed. And yeah, we are all almost, I think, 17 or 18 people. And yeah, just basically a group of friends who has the same love for the same music.
Do you also produce? I managed to find like two tracks, one played in the beginning and one will play at the end of the interview.
I mean, I'm first of all a DJ, but I also produce music, but I'm very, very slow and I think too much. But I'm planning to finish my EP, hopefully till end of the year or so I can have it finally done and can let it go.
Are you gonna release it through your own label?
I don't know yet. I just want to finish it first and then I'll see what I can do with it.
Maybe send it around.
Yeah.
And you're also a part of the platform Shape. I got to interview a lot of people this year that came to Ljubljana through Shape platform.
Mm-hmm.
How did it influence your career? Or you know?
I mean, I'm very thankful that I could be, that I was chosen for this year to be part of the Shape platform, because I got to play amazing gigs through them and meet very nice people. Same with the guys from Sonica Festival and everything. Because we met at Nyege Nyege Festival in Uganda. And
that was your first time in Africa?
Yeah, that was my first time there. And that was like such an amazing experience on so many levels, and that would have not been possible without the support of Shape and everything. And I just really appreciate the way they work with each other, and they try to build some sort of, or already have built, a very fair and wonderful music ecosystem, you know, where like-minded people find each other and like can see how they can support each other.
And you play quite a lot. You're playing tonight, obviously, in Ljubljana. You play in Munich tomorrow, Moscow on Saturday.
Exactly.
And then you have a tour in Africa in the second half of October. How is it stressful for you to travel around?
It can be quite exhausting, because you won't sleep much. So you have to make sure you eat well, and hopefully you'll have like good people who host you, like nice promoters and good shows. But I think it's just about knowing your body and what's good for you in that moment. So I try to sleep as much as possible and eat good food. And when I'm back home in Berlin, I just try to calm down and relax and do something good for my body, and just have breaks in between. I think that's very important. And also, I think what really helps me, I'm straight edge. I don't drink, I don't do drugs, anything like that. Never have done. And I also can't imagine how you can do all of this if you like that stuff. but I think that helps my body to stay healthy when it comes to touring.
You're like quite a fan of sports, right? Your father has a snowboarding school.
Yeah, right.
How do you get to like take care of your body in that way when you're in Berlin?
So I'm really bad at it, actually. But I met this guy. He's a personal trainer, and he really helped me a lot. Like, he wrote like a sports plan for me that I can do, just like movements that you can do anywhere. You don't need any like tools. You can just like lift your arms and then do this and that. So you can just do it in your hotel room for 10 minutes, and it's good for the neck or something, because like when you're traveling so much and you fall asleep and then your neck hurts. And then like also with DJing, and your neck gets really fucked up, it's really bad. So like he can show me good exercises that I can do to not become an old person very, very fast.
I just saw your Instagram post that you got a nice USB stick with local music in a festival in Brussels.
In Den Haag.
In Den Haag. So that's in your rider. Do you get a lot of music like that, or do people send you stuff?
Yeah, sometimes it works out. Sometimes the promoter forgets, but I try to ask them, like, hey, can you please make me a Dropbox folder or something like that, just with music that's from there. So even if I don't have the time to explore the city or the place where I'm playing, I can still listen to the music that is from there and have like some sort of connection and hopefully find great new music.
You are part of this generation that grew up with some amount of internet and computers, maybe like in our most formative adolescent years, we already had this amazing access to music. But what about before? Were you always like into exploring stuff? Did you buy CDs at a local tiny store in Compton?
Yeah, I mean, It started with when I was listening to hip hop music through my friend Johan. He showed me music from J Dilla and Madlib from Detroit, and because they were sampling so much, I always wanted to know where do the samples come from. So I was researching, and then like a lot of the stuff is not available on CD, so I would try to get the vinyl. But this is also a very expensive hobby, so I could not really start digging vinyl. You know, it's like you also need to have like a vinyl player and everything, so it's a quite hobby for very privileged people as well.
You play using controller and laptop?
Yeah, like MIDI controller, also sometimes CDJs. Like I try to switch it up because it depends on which kind of tool you use, but you will always play a little bit different and hear the music in a different way, and I like that because then it doesn't get boring.
And tonight, what can we expect from your gig?
Of course, rainbow bass. I hope that I can make people dance with other DJs together, and that people are open-minded, because the core of what I'm doing is I want us all to have the best time possible together for a couple of hours in a room where people can let go and enjoy themselves without being judged, and just have like a safe space where people can have the best time. And I'm trying to bring us there with the music that I'm playing, and I hope that people go home with a very good, warm, positive feeling.
Well, that's something nice to look for tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking with me. I'm gonna do a short outro in Slovenian, invite people to your gig again.
Okay, thank you.
Torej, pogovarjali smo se s Saro Farino, eno izmed varovank platforme Shape, ki bo letos, oziroma danes, v sklopu festivala Sonika nastopila v Monoklu na Metelkovi.
Spoštovane
intervju Radija Študent.